Now we will begin Part A with the first conversation. Number 1.
With so little time left to study for the history final, I think we should concentrate on going over our lecture notes.
That sounds good. At least we'll have an idea of what Professor Martin thinks is important.
How do the students plan to prepare for the exam? Number 2.
Sorry I'm late. There was road construction on Highway 9, and traffic was backed up for miles.
Tell me about it. I take that route, and it took me 2 hours to get home last night.
What does the man mean? Number 3.
You said you wanted to borrow my camera for Professor Wilson's assignment. Well, here it is.
I know this is precious to you, and I'll take good care of it. I hate using other people's things, especially expensive equipment like this.
According to the conversation, what will the woman do? Number 4.
Have you decided what you're going to do over the summer break?
Well, I've given it some thought, and I'd like to get a job in something related to marketing, but I haven't come up with anything definite yet.
What does the woman mean? Number 5.
That chocolate cake looks delicious. Aren't you going to have some with me?
Well, that was a huge meal we just had, and I was sort of watching my calorie intake. But what the heck, birthdays only come once a year.
What will the man probably do? Number 6.
They say that exercise is good for you, but I don't know. I mean, dragging myself out of bed at 6 a.m. every day to go to the gym is wreaking havoc on my sleep schedule.
Sure, but who says you need to go every day?
What does the woman imply the man should do? Number 7.
Are you just about done with the copying machine?
Pretty much. I just have to make sure the copies are clear.
What does the woman mean? Number 8.
This prescription is supposed to be effective for pain, but maybe it's too strong for me. I took it when I woke up in pain in the middle of the night, and now I feel nauseous.
You should have read the label first. It says right here on the bottle, to be taken with meals only.
What can be inferred about the woman? Number 9.
Finally, here are the notes you lent me from last week's chemistry class. Sorry I kept them so long.
Hey, don't worry about it. Our final exam's not for another week.
What does the woman imply? Number 10.
I know this jacket's a little old and faded, but I've got so many other things to take care of before the interview.
If you want my opinion, a new suit should be your top priority.
What does the woman imply the man should do? Number 11.
Wait a minute. Are you actually studying on this beautiful Saturday when the work isn't due for 2 weeks?
Have you forgotten that I'm going to be gone next weekend?
What does the woman imply? Number 12.
Do you know about the science fiction fair on Saturday?
Of course, I wouldn't miss it for the world.
What does the woman mean? Number 13.
Want to come with me to the opera tonight? I've got an extra ticket, and I think it will take your mind off that math problem you've been sweating over for the last 2 hours.
That'd be great, but the opera's in what? Italian, right? I think I have a better chance of understanding this math problem.
What does the man imply? Number 14.
You saw Kevin's new haircut, didn't you? It's pretty weird, don't you think?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it'd look good on you. But on him, well, I think it really complements his features.
What does the woman mean? Number 15.
I need you to send this package to the main office so it'll arrive before Wednesday's meeting.
Is there anyone else who can do it? It's going to take me all afternoon to proofread this report.
What does the man suggest the woman do? Number 16.
I can't find my notes from history class anywhere. They're not on my desk.
You might want to check behind it. Sometimes that happens to me, especially when there are a lot of papers and stuff piled on top of it.
What does the man mean? Number 17.
A lot of people are complaining about Professor Butler's lectures. They say he goes over the material too quickly in class. What do you think?
Well, I don't have to write as many notes as most students in there. You see, I had a similar course at another school, so maybe I'm not the best person to ask.
What can be inferred about the man? Number 18.
Can you recommend one of the doctors at the Student Health Center? I have to get a physical exam before they'll let me play basketball.
Sorry. My hometown's so close that I just drive back there whenever I need to see a doctor.
What does the woman mean? Number 19.
This reading list Professor Reed gave us, look at it. 2 solid pages of books. Does she really expect us to read them all?
Just the ones on the first page. The rest are just stuff she thought we might find interesting.
What does the woman mean? Number 20.
Do you know Sally's new address? She got some mail, and I'd like to forward it to her.
Sorry, we weren't exactly on good terms when she left.
What does the woman imply? Go on to the next page. Number 21.
The sign says this is reserved parking only, and your student parking sticker has expired, too.
I was just running in to turn in a paper, officer. I haven't been here more than 5 minutes.
What can be inferred about the woman? Number 22.
I'm pretty excited. The outdoor club is going hiking in Mount Henry Forest this weekend.
Yes, finally. I've been looking forward to it all year.
What can be inferred about the speakers? Number 23.
I've just been told that my part-time job is going to end next month.
It's probably for the best. Your skills are sure in demand now, and that job wasn't exactly what you'd call interesting.
What does the man imply? Number 24.
The conference on career planning is only a month away, but there are still a few things that our organizing committee needs to work out.
Then it's clear we'd better meet again, and soon. Would you mind setting it up?
What does the woman want the man to do? Number 25.
Oh, we had the best tour guide when we were in San Francisco. I recommend him very highly for when you go there next month.
Thanks, but I'll be staying with family, and they're taking care of everything.
What does the woman imply? Number 26.
I heard Jane has tickets to the boys' choir that she wants to sell.
I'm in luck then. The ticket office sold out of tickets yesterday.
What will the man probably do? Number 27.
So, what did you think of the car? It is in your price range.
Well, it's a little beat up and the seats are a little torn, but it certainly drives well, and I'm tired of looking.
What will the man probably do next? Number 28.
I'm really looking forward to this trip with our geology class. But I'm not certain I have the strength to carry a backpack up and down the mountain, especially one that's full of tools.
They're taking two donkeys to carry the tools. We just have to carry our personal items, like clothing and sleeping bags.
What does the man mean? Number 29.
8:45? I guess I'd better get going. When's the next bus out to the university?
That bus leaves here on the hour.
What does the man mean? Number 30.
Mary borrowed my jacket again this morning. It's getting so I almost never get to use it.
You've got to put a stop to that. She has plenty of her own things to wear.
What does the man suggest the woman do? This is the end of Part A. Go on to the next page. Now read along as the directions for Part B are being read. The test continues on side 2. Part B. Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear longer conversations. After each conversation, you will hear several questions. The conversations and questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the 4 possible answers in your test book and choose the best answer. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Remember, you are not allowed to take notes or write in your test book. Go on to the next page. Now we will begin Part B with the first conversation. Questions 31 through 34. Listen to a conversation between 2 students.
Oh, Jack, I'm glad I caught you. I wanted to tell you that I'll have to skip the history study group session tonight.
Really? That's too bad. Aren't you feeling well?
Oh, it's not that. There's going to be a public meeting down at the town hall. The state senator from this area is going to be there. She has these meetings 3 or 4 times a year to speak with her constituents.
Is that what you like to do with your evenings? Go and listen to politicians?
Well, actually, it's a class assignment. Professor Jackson, he's teaching that political science seminar I'm taking. He told all of us in the seminar to go and hear what the senator has to say tonight, and also write up a report about the issues people bring up.
Oh, like medical care and taxes and...
Right. And as long as I'm there, I think I'd like to bring up government funding for state universities. The tuition keeps going up, and it's getting harder and harder for a lot of students to afford it.
Tell me about it.
Anyway, I want to do a really good job on this report. I need to get a letter of recommendation from Professor Jackson for graduate school, so I guess I better show up there tonight and see what goes on.
Yeah, but what about the history test?
Well, I've already put in some extra time on that this morning, so I think by tomorrow afternoon I'll be ready.
Number 31. Why does the man assume the woman is not feeling well? Number 32. What is the general purpose of the meeting the woman plans to attend? Number 33. What does the woman hope to discuss tonight? Number 34. What does the woman hope Professor Jackson will do for her? Questions 35 through 39. Listen to the conversation.
I just finished reading a book of short stories by Hamlin Garland called Maine Traveled Roads. I really enjoyed it. Have you ever read it?
Yes, it was required reading in the American literature course I took last year. Even though it's fiction, you get a realistic picture of the hard life people had back then on the American frontier. I don't think I would have survived 19th century frontier life.
Me either. Remember the story Among the Corn Rows? Garland gives a vivid description of Julia Peterson, that young Norwegian immigrant girl. She had to work on her family's farm.
Uh-huh.
Well, when Julia feels exhausted and is wishing she could escape from her hard labor, she looks over at her father working in the next field and is inspired to continue her own work.
I do remember that story. Garland really captures the spirit of hard work that was so typical of the immigrants and pioneers who settled the American Midwest. It's difficult to imagine, but nothing seemed to discourage them for long.
I wonder how Garland learned so much about the Midwest. Wasn't he from Boston?
He lived in Boston. In fact, he studied and taught at the Boston School of Oratory. But I think he was born in a log cabin in Wisconsin. He did grow up in the Midwest.
No wonder his descriptions are so good. I'm going to take this book back to the library now and see what other Garland works I can find.
Number 35. What are the man and woman discussing? Number 36. What does Hamlin Garland describe in Maine Traveled Roads? Number 37. How does Hamlin Garland characterize pioneer life? Number 38. Why does the man mention Julia Peterson? Number 39. Where is the man going now? This is the end of Part B. Go on to the next page. Now read along as the directions for Part C are being read. Part C. Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear several short talks. After each talk, you will hear some questions. The talks and the questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your test book and choose the best answer. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Here is an example. On the recording, you hear, "Listen to an instructor talk to his class about a television program."
"I'd like to tell you about an interesting TV program that'll be shown this coming Thursday. It'll be on from 9 to 10 p.m. on Channel 4. It's part of a series called Mysteries of Human Biology. The subject of the program is the human brain, how it functions and how it can malfunction. Topics that will be covered are dreams, memory, and depression. These topics are illustrated with outstanding computer animation that makes the explanations easy to follow. Make an effort to see this show. Since we've been studying the nervous system in class, I know you'll find it very helpful."
Now listen to a sample question. What is the main purpose of the program? In your test book, you read, A. To demonstrate the latest use of computer graphics. B. To discuss the possibility of an economic depression. C. To explain the workings of the brain. D. To dramatize a famous mystery story. The best answer to the question, "What is the main purpose of the program?" is C. To explain the workings of the brain. Therefore, the correct choice is C. Now listen to another sample question. Why does the speaker recommend watching the program? In your test book, you read, A. It is required of all science majors. B. It will never be shown again. C. It can help viewers improve their memory skills. D. It will help with coursework. The best answer to the question, "Why does the speaker recommend watching the program?" is D. It will help with coursework. Therefore, the correct choice is D. Remember, you are not allowed to take notes or write in your test book. Go on to the next page. Now we will begin Part C with the first talk. Questions 40 through 43. Listen to some remarks made at a summer camp.
This is our last meeting before the campers arrive tomorrow. I'll give you the activity schedules later, but now I want to answer a question one of you asked me yesterday about campers with asthma. Let me explain a little about the disease. First of all, it's chronic and fairly common. 20 million people in the United States alone have it. It affects the bronchial tubes, that is, the airways of the lungs. During normal breathing, air is drawn in through the mouth and nose and eventually makes its way into the bronchial tubes. The asthma patient's bronchial tubes are very sensitive and easily irritated by exercise or stress, exposure to allergens or pollution, or breathing in cold air or cigarette smoke. When an asthmatic suffers an attack, the airway passages constrict, making it difficult for the person to breathe normally. If a camper in your group has even a mild case of asthma, you will be informed and given further instructions about what to do in case of an attack. But don't worry, some of our campers might have a mild case, but they always bring their medicines with them, and we've never had a problem. Are there any other questions? Okay, then let's talk about the schedules for tomorrow.
Number 40. What does the speaker mainly discuss? Number 41. According to the speaker, what part of an asthmatic's body is particularly sensitive? Number 42. What does the speaker say about the campers who have asthma? Number 43. Why does the speaker mention cigarette smoke? Questions 44 through 47. Listen to part of a talk in an astronomy class.
Today, most astronomers accept the notion that the groups of stars that make up the universe are all moving farther and farther away from each other. But until fairly recently, this idea of an expanding universe was not a theory most European scholars believed in. Since ancient times, and up to about the 17th century, most of these scholars thought the size of the universe had remained unchanged since the moment of its creation, or perhaps forever, with all the stars remaining more or less in place in relation to each other. But that was challenged in the late 17th century by Isaac Newton's idea of gravity as a force of attraction, which contradicts the idea of a universe that's static, unchanging. If gravity causes all the stars out in space to attract each other, as Newton said, then they couldn't remain essentially motionless. Sooner or later, all these stars would be falling in towards each other. Well, scientists then proposed a new model, taking Newton's theories into account. They didn't want to abandon the idea of motionless stars, but for this model to work, so the stars wouldn't fall in on each other, they had to modify Newton's law of gravity. So they theorized that for distances as large as those between stars, the gravitational force repels rather than attracts. As you might guess, this led to some other contradictions, but these were pretty well resolved in the past century by the currently accepted theory, which says that the universe is continually expanding. You'll be reading about all that for your homework tonight.
Number 44. What does the professor mainly discuss? Number 45. What did most European scholars believe before the 17th century about the size of the universe? Number 46. What did some scientists try to explain by suggesting that stars repel each other? Number 47. What will the students read about for homework? Questions 48 through 50. Listen to a talk in a biology class.
On Monday, we talked about insects and how they gather food. Today, I'd like to talk about the common garden spider and how it captures its prey, with the round net-like structure it first produced almost 200 million years ago. I mean, of course, a spider web. What's interesting is why such a delicate structure isn't ripped apart when a fast-flying insect crashes into it. And compared with a spider, these insects can be huge and really heavy. In fact, capturing a large insect in a spider web could be compared to catching an airplane in a fishing net. So, how can the web absorb such a shock without breaking? Is it just because the silk-like threads it's made of are so strong? Well, experts analyzed spider webs using a computer program, one designed for crash-testing cars. And they found that the structure of the web, the way the threads are connected together, helps balance the stresses and tensions caused by the impact and spread them all across the web. This saves the web from being destroyed and, by the way, suggests some creative new ideas that humans might use in designing buildings. The big surprise, though, is the role of air resistance in cushioning the shock of a collision. The computer model showed that dragging a tiny thread from a spider web through the air is a lot like pulling a heavy rope through water. And since air resistance acts on many threads all across the web, its amazing effects are multiplied many times, and this definitely helps the web survive the impact.
Number 48. What is the talk mainly about? Number 49. What does the speaker say about some of the insects that spiders catch? Number 50. According to the speaker, who might benefit from studying spider webs? This is the end of Section 1, Listening Comprehension. Stop work on Section 1.